This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hustle and Pro with Kelly Walker. Join Kelly as she talks sports with players, coaches, organizers, and entrepreneurs from Pee Wee League to Pro. Now here's your host, Kelly Walker.
On today's episode of Hustle and Pro, we sit down with Booker Woodfox. Booker has been a collegiate athlete. He's been a player professionally in the NBA G League here in Frisco for the Texas Legends. He's also the voice of the Legends as a color commentator, and then some. We're going to learn about that, but we're going to start off with a few quick hits to get to know you a little bit better. First of all, welcome, Booker. Thanks for sitting down with us.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Here's a few quick hits to see to get to know you. Who is your favorite all-time athlete?
I'm going to have to go with LeBron. You know, he's done so much for the game. And he does now, you know, now that he's getting older, you know, people kind of take shots at him now, or because he's made some decisions that benefits him. But, you know, LeBron's done so much for the NBA, and, you know, he's a good dad. You can see that. Like, some people, you know, don't even focus on that. They just focus on the basketball part. But, you know, on and off the court, that's my guy.
Who's your favorite all-time team?
That's a good one. See, you know, I'm Mavs all day, but wherever LeBron goes, I follow him. So if he goes to whatever team, then that's what I like. But, you know, I'm Mavs all day long. Go to all the games when I can. You know, obviously working with the Legends, so Dallas Mavs.
What's your favorite sport to watch?
I like basketball, but I also like I like tennis. You know, I've got to watch a little bit of it growing up, and I see how that you got to be so quick and athletic. People don't understand that, how quick and athletic you got to be for tennis.
Yeah, like, you're right.
So I got a lot of respect for those people that can play that, and the ball's coming at you like 100 and something miles an hour, and you got to react. That grew on me, so I kind of like that.
What about your favorite sport to play? I'm guessing basketball.
Yeah, obviously basketball. Actually, we play ping pong in here sometimes. I like ping pong, and you know, I played baseball a little bit, so I might go to the batting cages here and there. But you know, basketball.
What's the farthest you've ever traveled to play sports or to watch someone play sports?
Jeez, Asia. I played in 2010 before I was, because the year after I was drafted to the Legends. But in 2010, I played in Lebanon, and that was an experience. I mean, see some of the, it's a different country, and it's, and you know, some stuff going on over there, so you gotta be on your tiptoes. But you know, I grew up there. You know, I became a man. I was there for like 5 months, and you know, where you live at is a little dangerous. You know, but the pay is great, but you gotta be on your tiptoes.
You grow up a lot there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's start talking about the Legends. We're about to celebrate 10 years this upcoming season, and I want you to tell me about your path to the Legends.
So I was here when the Legends started it off. I think that was 2011. I think 2011 when the Legends first started, and we had Nancy Lieberman as our head coach, and boy, did she do a good job, though. I mean, we got to the playoffs, and we dealt with a lot of things. But we, you know, that was one of my favorite years because, you know, obviously it being the first year, but then some of the players we had like 7 NBA first round draft picks, and you know, we was we was really good, and I got to contribute, you know, which was a great thing. But that first year was really good. It was special.
And how long were you here as a player?
I want to say, did I play 5 years? Was it five? I think it was five. My first year was with Nancy. Second year was with Dale. 2 years with Eduardo Najara. So maybe it was four.
Then did you immediately transition and stay in on the broadcast side? Or tell me how that worked and how long you've been doing the color commentating side.
Well, actually, this season was my first season doing the broadcast. But it was, I had talked with Malcolm, in the past about doing some broadcasting. And at first I was like, it's a little different for me. I'm used to being out there playing but we talked about it and it ended up being real special. Doing it alongside Jared Sandler. The first game I did, he had my back. Like, it was crazy how if I had something wrong or I didn't know what to say, boom, Jared Sandler pops in and just takes over. So after being with him, then I picked it up easy and it was a breeze. And we actually had a lot of fun doing it.
Had you ever been interested in that part of, broadcast or anything like that before, like when you were younger or in school or anything?
I never even knew anything about analysts, TV broadcast. I had no idea about that stuff. I just, right whenever Malcolm asked me about doing it, I went to Google and started looking some things up or looking at some of the NBA guys that do it with the, on the pro, mm-hmm. pro level, like, and, Chris Webber, he does analysts and those guys, and I looked at what they talk about, and it became easy. You just gotta watch the game, and then when you just gotta be able to talk about it, and so it was kind of easy.
Do you find how do you prepare for those things? Do you just roll with it? I mean, obviously you kind of went in blind the first season and everything, and like you said, Jared helped you, but now that you have that under your belt, are you preparing and like really? Are you overthinking everything, or do you just watch and talk?
You just watch and talk, and you got to be quick though. When a play breaks down or something, a special play happens, you just got to be able to talk about it. And before the next play is about to start. So, after a while, I picked it up pretty quick, and things was just moving. It was easy.
How many games are you doing a year then?
I want to say this season, I think I did 11 games this season, and I'm not sure what the plan is for next year. Probably do a few more, but after doing the first two or three games, it was a walk in the park. Because you just got to be yourself, basically, and
then it becomes fun.
Then it becomes fun, and it becomes.
Is it just you and Jared in there?
Yeah, it was just me and Jared
on there. So is he like play-by-play in your color, mm-hmm. and you guys tag team like that, like traditionally?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so Jared's the play-by-play guy, and then I do the color. Just, whenever, for example, if someone gets a dunk, Jared talks about who got the dunk, and I say how it happened or why he got that dunk, and just so the fans can understand. And, because a lot of people don't really understand basketball or don't know, and then I got to be the one to – break it down and show them why this happened or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Or talk about players or player development.
Oh, yeah, no, you got to do your homework. Yeah. You got to do your homework. You got to know about some of the players. And this year was easy for me because I played with a lot of those guys. I'm only 32, so some of those guys are like 27, 28, mm-hmm. and they was maybe rookies or sophomores in the G League whenever I was, in my prime, so I know a lot of those guys, played with a lot of them, so and I know their tendencies, so and I know where they went to school, and I know a bunch about it, so I was able to talk about it and run with it.
Yeah, you're still connected to them.
Still connected to them.
And you'll stay connected because you're part of the Texas Legends organization. You're around here. You're involved, right?
Yeah.
You're woven in still, so you'll stay connected with the players and what's going on around here.
Yep.
So speaking of the Legends, I think it's very unique. I've been involved a couple years just on the business side, and I cover them for Lifestyle Frisco, of course. But tell me, describe what you think this Legends family means. Is it as unique to you as I think it is around here?
It's so unique. You know, it's open. I talk to some of the, whenever I'm out and someone says, hey, did you used to play at the Legends or whatever? And the way that they, you know, they respond, it's just like they feel like they're part of the Legends, you know, like, because it's open doors, it's mm-hmm. open arms for people, especially in Frisco. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a part of the Legends family, all you got to do is just ask, basically, and you know, and they'll welcome you in with open arms. And the way they take care of their fans, you know, I haven't heard one, you know, negative thing about the Legends organization, you know. And it's because, you know, the guys get out in the community. Whenever you know, fans come to the Legends games, you know, we treat them like, you know, they're special, they're royalty, and then, you know, they love it, they respect that.
And I don't know, I'm not in other markets and see other teams, but I just don't feel like everybody else does it that way. I feel like we have to do it differently and better here.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, the Mavs, we're part of the Mavs, and we represent the Mavs, and that's a big organization over there. No, and there's other places that are, you know, that have done a good job, and then there's some places where you're like, not sure I want to be over there. But, you know, to each his own. But I know one thing is, you know, the Legends is the best organization in the G League for sure.
Rewind back to when you were growing up. So tell me about different sports you played. And, you know, I don't think you were always just a basketball player. You mentioned earlier you played baseball, and I know you said you like watching tennis, but tell me about when you were little. What sports were you playing and watching?
Well, I've always played basketball, but I did play baseball for, you know, youth up until maybe 7th, 8th grade, and then I just didn't want to play it anymore, and I was, you know, just wanted to focus strictly on basketball. But I was a decent baseball player. I played shortstop, did some pitching, and I played with, you know, one of my guys. His name is Austin Jackson. He plays MLB right now. I remember he invited me to play on his AAU team with I think they was called the Reds. They was like big time, ranked in the country for AAU. And he's like, yeah, I got a guy. We's friends. We's seventh grade. We played basketball together. And I wasn't on their level, not even close.
But
I mean, those guys is like so good. But he's like, yeah, I got a guy, and I mean, and I played a lot. Like, they would play me, and, you know, I'd strike out here and there, I mean, a lot of times, actually. But I remember I got one good hit, and the bench went crazy. You know how it is? Well, I was basically like a walk-on, uh-huh. You know, so you know, when the walk-ons get on in college games, how everybody goes crazy.
Everybody was rooting for me.
I mean, I was just,
man. So that was like junior high, you say?
Yeah, that was junior high. But see, my thing was, this might sound crazy, but I didn't want to be that walk-on guy. If I was going to play, I wanted to be one of the top guys playing. And I didn't feel like I was good enough, so I was like, I'm good enough at basketball. So I'm just stick with the basketball.
Yeah, you wanted to compete.
Yeah, I wanted to compete.
Than being the low guy.
Yeah, I didn't want to be the yeah.
It's amazing, though, even at seventh grade, the separation of at baseball, specifically of how good some of those guys are already getting that early.
Six of those guys got drafted into the MLB off of that team.
Wow. Is this a Louisville area?
No, I think they was. I think it was more Denton and those somewhere out there, like in this, and also some South Lake kids. But I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was like five or six of those guys got drafted, and Austin got drafted to the Yankees, and he's still playing to this day. So that, I'm telling you, like, those guys was good. Yeah. Like, the ball would be in the catcher's mitt, and I was just swinging late.
So you shifted over to basketball. So was high school all about basketball for you then?
Yeah, that's where it took off for me.
And that was Louisville?
Louisville High School. Yeah. That's when it took off.
When did you start playing basketball? Little bitty?
Yeah, I started playing probably around like 4 or 5. Now, when I say playing, I was, you know, shooting hoops. I think I started playing competitive ball when I got to be in the fifth grade.
Yeah. So you won the inaugural D-League three-point contest in 2011. Have you always had that three-point shot? Is that something you've always had in middle school, high school?
I've always been able to shoot the ball. Because I would be at the Louisville Rec Center from 9 a.m. till close, till 9 p.m., just shooting, you know, there's... And so, you know, back then, we didn't, you know, it was all about shooting and dunking. You know, now these kids are so skilled mm-hmm. that they kind of tend to forget about how important it is to be able to shoot the ball. I'll never forget Dale Harris told me, you know, the reason he's honest with me. You know, he's like, the reason you're still playing the game of basketball is because you're one of the best shooters. You know, he told me I'm one of the best shooters he ever coached. And he's coached a lot of NBA players. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what he told me. The reason you're playing this game still is because you can shoot the ball. So, you know, and now I tell kids today, you know, if you can shoot the ball, you can play forever because your athleticism goes, you know, but.
Yeah, slow down. Yeah. So if you're there because you're shooting the ball, then is he telling you that because there's areas of weakness to go and fix?
Oh, well, absolutely. Yeah. There was, you know, I wasn't always in the best shape that I should have been. So, you know, my defense wasn't the best as it could, you know, after, you know, getting older, I realized, you know, it's all a want to, mm-hmm. you know, especially on the defensive end. And I picked it up. But I was starting to get older, you know, so, you know, the chances of a call-up was becoming slim, you know, because I'm 26, 27 when I finally realized that, you know, I got to start mm-hmm. keeping my body intact. And you got guys that's 21, 22 coming at you, so.
Coming at you ready to play, playing shape.
Hard, in shape, ripped up, cut up.
Yeah.
But it was... I can't complain about my career playing ball. You know, I've played all over. I've played in every continent, played in G League, met a lot of people, you know, two NBA G League three-point contests.
So. Oh, two. I only gave you credit for one just now. I didn't know there were two.
Yeah, I was back-to-back. And if we want to be honest, it was three because they had the South Padre Island Showcase. In 2011, and I won that. So,
is that like the Vegas Showcase now?
Kind of like that is now. They took away that. They didn't have the 3-point contest at the Showcase. I'm not even sure they have the All Star Game no more.
I think so.
I feel like this season.
Maybe it was last season that I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
but I thought that I saw that happening still, because I feel like Jameel was a part of that this season, still at the break. But I don't know. I could be off.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Do you watch the NBA three-point, and do you get into that All-Star break?
Oh, yeah. No, that, you know, the dunks now are so repetitive. Like, you know, if you've seen one, you've seen a bunch of them. But the three-point contest, you just don't know who's going to win. And then somebody can just get hot, and then, you know, so that's become one of the best ones at All-Star Weekend is the three-point contest.
I used to think, I think back at my age, I think back to the dunk contest when, like, it's just one shot. You either make it or you don't. Mm. And, you know, like Jordan, and it's so intense and exciting when they make it, and it's something big we've never seen before. It's hard now because of all the retries. You know, they get another attempt. And you know what they're about to do, and you've seen it. It just takes a little bit of the fun out when you've seen that guy.
Yeah.
Try it again, and then maybe he gets it on the third. I don't get as excited on the third attempt.
No, you're right. I can see where you're coming from, you know. And when you do it, you know, if you do it on the first try, then that's great.
It's much better.
Absolutely.
I don't want to see the behind-the-scenes attempts to get to that one that you make. But, yeah, the three-point contests are great. And the skills. This year, it was funny how those guys are shooting their last shot from, like, half court now. More than one are going in.
Like I told you, they're so skilled nowadays. Like, and the way And the skills challenge, like some of mm-hmm. those passes that they make or the way they get between those, you know, cones, you know, these guys is unbelievable.
It is. It's awesome to watch. Do you ever watch the hockey skills challenge?
I haven't seen that.
Watch it next. Well, I mean, it'll be a while, but next hockey All-Star break, just watch it because it's that same skills and like fastest shot and then the accuracy of shots and their puck has to go in certain corners of the goal. It's pretty amazing.
You know what?
I
think I might have seen like clips of it on like Sports Center or something.
Probably. Because when they break records and I mean hardest shot and all these, it's amazing. All right. So speaking of skills, so what else have you been doing with your basketball skills and experiences besides the in-season commentating for the Legends?
So I started a basketball training academy. We're in Louisville, and I got some kids that are top level kids in the state and the country. You know, there's a kid, Keontae George at Louisville. You know, he just made ESPN's top 25 and number 24 in the country. Wow. You know, got another kid. He's actually just went to Utah. His name's Caleb Lohner. KJ Pruitt at Louisville, Ben Jolson in Colleyville. So there's a lot of talent. But then I also have kids that just want to learn how to play and want to be those guys, you know.
Yeah. And so those guys, the first few names you mentioned, are these, you say go to Utah, like going for college ball or – like, are these high school players?
No, yeah, these are high school players. Caleb Lohner was at Flower Mound High School, then he went to prep school in Utah.
Okay.
You know, there's a better opportunity for him out there, so he chose to go out there. But
you're working with kids of all ages, like even, like, elementary age kids that are just starting?
I got, we start from, we go fifth grade on up. You know, we got a decent amount of kids. You know, it's fun. So there's, and you know, what's the good funny part is watching them how they never been able to make a layup, mm-hmm. and now they're, you know, making them consistently or not knowing anything about the game of basketball, and then now they're just, you know, it's going smooth for them. So, you know, that, I get a joy out of that. You know, we get in there, we go to work, and the kids that want to be there, you know, always welcome to come. So,
what does that look like? Like, how often are you working with these kids?
Right now, it's a everyday thing. We go Monday through Monday. You know, some days are different. I have like a certain group come in on a Monday. Like for example, today we have some of the top kids coming in. Some of my elite kids. You know, we might have a couple guys that are play pro. For Diamante Simmons, he played in Denmark. You know, so we got a couple pros that stop by and come work out with the kids, and they love it. You know,
yeah.
The little kids get to see, dang, you know, look how big these guys
right.
are, how hard they work. I want to be like that. So it gives them a little, you know, a little joy in there.
That's great that you still or that you're working with kiddos, and this all happens in Louisville.
Yep, it's in Louisville. It's called the Age Don't Matter Basketball Training Academy.
Oh, I love that. That's great. So you're still playing every day then. Like,
I'm not necessarily playing every day. You know, before they get there, I might shoot a few hoops or, you know.
Keep that shot going.
Yeah, to keep the shot going. But other than that, I just train, you know, just train
Barking
them.
Barking orders.
Yep, just help them get better.
Barking at them, telling them.
Definitely
go
bark
harder,
at them a
go
little
faster.
Bit. Yeah, I get it. You know, so you pick up so much knowledge from playing from coaches all over. Like, the coach that I played for in Venezuela is totally different than the coach that I played for in Lebanon.
How so? Like, training-wise? Just regimen? Just how they speak to you? What they expect of you? Everything?
You're right. Like, how they speak to you, how they teach you, how some of the stuff that they like and that they don't like. And then playing, you know, the coach in Lebanon was totally different than the coach Dale Harris that mm-hmm. I played for. You know, I played for Coach Dana Altman. He's totally different from the coach in Columbia where I play. So, you know, you pick up some good information from all those coaches,
sure.
You know. So,
You're passing that along.
And I get to pass it along and show these kids.
So what's your best, I mean, what do you think is the most effective style of a coach? You've seen all those different styles. What are some of the best pieces that you've pulled?
You know, every coach that I had from starting in high school, you gotta, as being a coach, get on your players. Like, even if they're their top kids, it does not matter. Like, sometimes it happens to where, you know, I don't know about the NBA or, you know, these guys are so ahead of, you know. But, you know, high school, middle school, college, you gotta get on your top guys, and you gotta treat everybody the same, you know. And the reason is because the guys, they're watching. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they're watching. You know, he does. You know, this guy always is, you know, late, and nobody says anything to him. Or this guy is always, you know, shooting all the shots, and every time I shoot a shot, he gets on me. So
yeah, it brings everybody else down, I feel like.
And that can hurt a locker room, mm-hmm. you know. And so that's one of the things I've learned, is that everybody has to be the same. You got to treat everybody the same when it comes to the game of basketball, because if you don't, then you lose people throughout the journey.
And I would think if you're pulling more out of the best players, that's only going to bring up everybody else to higher levels.
Absolutely.
Right? Who do you have a favorite coach?
I would have to say, now, pro or college?
I don't know. Could be your seventh grade coach. I don't know. Just anybody that you think about the most when you draw back on experiences and just the game and the skills that you have or the love that you have, whatever it is. I mean, is there just a coach or two that you just always go back to, remembering that they taught you a lot?
You know, I'd have to say, because I went to junior college for 2 years before I transferred to mm-hmm. Creighton, and Coach Scott Gernander taught me so much. Because that's, you know, when you go to junior college, you're in there with guys that, you're in there with a bunch of animals, to be honest with you. You know, you got some guys that just got out of jail, or you with some guys that, you know, 27, 28 years of age.
Yeah.
And I'm going in there at 18, and, you know, and he taught me so much as far as, you know, being on time, you know, because if you're not, then these older guys will get your minutes, or just, it didn't matter that I was one of the top kids coming out of Texas, because when you get to college, everybody's good or better.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept my head on straight, and you know, that's, I became a man in there.
Because that probably could have been a make or break, or that probably was a make or break few years. Because, like, if you wouldn't have gotten your head on straight and grown up during that,
it'd have been over.
JUCO time, like, you'd have been done.
Yeah, it'd have been over. And that happens a lot nowadays. Is, you know, you see so many kids that are ranked in the country or just get all this publicity at an early age, and then whenever it gets serious and now you're about to go to college, they can't take that pressure, and they transfer again, and before you know it, nobody even knows where they're at, you know.
No consistency. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got your head on straight.
Yeah.
You got it back home, and you're mm-hmm. here in Frisco working with the legends, and so we'll be listening for you next season.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Thank you for the time today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.